Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this October 29th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff here. Welcoming into the studio some of our great friends from UW-Madison Extension Wood County. We have Laura Huber with us and Olga Menza with us. We're talking 4-H today, and thank you so much for being here, you two. Appreciate the time.
Oh, thank you once again for, you know, allowing us in to share the information about, you know, what we've got going on in the world of 4-H, and there's some exciting changes right now. So,
yeah, and Laura, you and I get to talk quite a bit and everything, and I think the audience is familiar with that. But Olga, it's been a little while. How you been?
I've been good, thank you. Yes, thank you for having me here today.
Olga, let's remind the audience of your role with 4-H and what you do and where you're doing it now.
Yeah, so I'm currently a bilingual, bicultural 4-H educator, and currently teaching at the Marshfield High School and Middle School.
Very cool. And thank you so much for putting in that work. We appreciate all that. We appreciate all of our teachers out there and all of our people that are able to do an extension of that, if you will. Pun intended. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. But I do appreciate that work and appreciate the work being done on this front and every level when it comes to more inclusion and bringing more and more people in, regardless of language barriers or any of these things, having more of this. Where I'm from the greatest melting pot in the world in Chicago. You pick up other languages organically around there, and there's a lot of stuff that you learn that is usually often broken Spanish or broken this or broken that or whatever, but you learn
Spanglish.
Yes, exactly. You get a lot of that, but up here you don't have as much of it, so having opportunities to bring in more of this is fantastic, and I want to talk to you about Juntos. Juntos, am I saying that right? Juntos?
Yes, Juntos.
Okay. Let's talk about what this program is and what it means.
Yeah, so Juntos is a great program that is from the 4-H Extension, and we are including the schools for the parents to be also involved and for the students to thrive. So it's important for us, to offer this in both languages, especially because there's always a language barrier. And I'm actually getting ready right now to do my first event for November 21st at Marshfield School, and talk about Juntos with the parents and what the program is, and just to let them know that they're not alone, and we want to make sure that their voices are heard. And so that's why I'm here, to offer them all the opportunities for their children. And I have a lot of, you know, background experience in that, my parents not speaking English. And, you know, Spanish being my native language, there was like a lot of opportunities there that, you know, we didn't take advantage of, or that there wasn't someone there that we could trust or, you know, talk about those opportunities. So I'm super excited and passionate to be able to do this for my community.
And Olga, being able to do this for young people any age, it's helpful. But to be able to reach kids at a young age when their brains are sponges and they're learning so much more. And, you know, if you look at a lot of linguists and talk to a lot of linguists, this is the age to really start learning those languages or start understanding those languages better. So certainly for Spanish speaking kids, this is an opportunity to learn more in the English world, English language, which is insane. I can't imagine. If I didn't grow up in it, I don't know how I would learn it. And I barely speak good English as it is, and I talk for a living. I can't imagine being somebody coming into this as that and everything. Yeah. There is that side of it that I don't think we see a lot of, but it can be detrimental to a young mind when it's trying to learn and it has a language barrier that is keeping it from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be pretty intimidating learning, you know, that second language. And not only that, but not having like the right tools and resources, and you know, the school sometimes don't have. So this is the reason that we come into the schools to try to provide, you know, better opportunities and for students to thrive. And not only are they learning like a second language, but they're also like learning the culture here as well. So they're adapting, you know, to new environments.
Yeah.
And you know, even the schools that they probably went to in their own countries was totally different setting that it is here, and different curriculums. And so I am so happy to be able to, you know, fulfill this space and, you know, let them know that I was also in their shoes. And so I was able to, you know, get by this. You know, although I was born here, I'm originally from Chicago as well. But I moved to Nakusa when I was like 9. So I was very young. And I do remember, you know, growing up in Chicago, all of our teaching was in Spanish. And so we were supposed to do dual language starting fourth grade. But unfortunately, I started fourth grade here. So then I was put into just all English classes. And it was very intimidating, very frustrating that I didn't succeed as well as my other classmates. Because I didn't know how to read or write English. So it was really difficult. And so the school was not prepared for us either. So they would put us like in special classes and I was even more frustrated. So having, you know, these programs are very beneficial for the school and the students.
For some listeners out there, you might hear that story, and hopefully you empathize, hopefully you understand a little bit of it from your own point of view, but I understand that the majority of people out there listening might not be able to relate to that, especially having an immigrant family or something along those lines. Olga, you and I almost have the same path. I was just a couple of years older than you when I first came out here, and I was going to school in Nakusa. And the audience may not be able to tell, but I had a bit more of a Chicago accent back then. And I said my S's and my Z's a little bit funny. Yeah. And they didn't quite get that out here. Okay. So I actually had to take a class for my first year out here on my S's and Z's to try to pronounce those a little bit better because they didn't feel I was pronouncing them strong enough. And I'm you know, born and raised here and all those things. And even I had to go through something like that. So try to imagine it on Olga's level or a level of one of these kids. It hopefully gives you a little more understanding and an understanding of how easily this can happen. Kids getting lost in the shuffle of these things and how important it is to have some people, not only yourself, but other teachers out there, keeping an eye on something like this. What are the grades that you work with specifically?
Currently, I'm doing seventh grade until senior year.
Cool. A great age, too, to be able to reach kids and stuff, where they're not only they're still developing, of course, and everything, but they're also understanding a lot more.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the reason that we want to reach those grades is because we want to prepare them for higher education. So that's also very important. And, you know, something that we have to break those cycles because usually our population, the Hispanic Latino, usually, you know, just complete high school if they're able to, or sometimes as soon as they're, you know, reach 18, they want to drop out of school and just work and help their family members economically. But I think that it's important to, you know, start breaking those cycles and, you know, instead of, you know, dropping out from school to work, instead, why don't you continue higher education, go to college, and that way you can make more money. And have a career. And so I'm definitely there to motivate them and let them know that there is, you know, there is opportunity, there is hope. And I was, you know, in their same shoes. And my parents worked in the fields, in the potato fields, cranberry fields, pickle fields. I also did. And I did that work until I was 15. And I finally said, oh, you know, I want to go and pursue school and a college education. And actually, I'm the middle of 12 children. So my elder siblings, when they were graduating high school, some graduated and some dropped out and they were working. So I feel like, you know, the school staff felt like, oh, well, she's just going to graduate and continue working with her family and, you know, in the farm and stuff. But I had other dreams. I had other hopes. And so I struggled by myself to, you know, make it happen. And so I'm hoping that I'm able to provide these, you know, students the correct tools and resources and whatever they need to be able to get a higher education.
Giving them options that maybe you or I might not have had, avenues to take those options. Now, if they want to continue the family business after high school, that's great. More power to them. But at least giving them the option that, hey, there are other paths, there are other ways you can go.
Most
definitely. And the research shows that this is an important subject, especially in the Latino community. I think that there's a lot of families out there that are hearing this and can relate to a lot of what you're saying. But specifically in the Latino culture, there, this is something that happens quite a bit. I know I saw it growing up. I'm sure you did, too. And it's something that has certainly affected our area here in central Wisconsin.
Definitely.
So that's another part of the program, just giving kids this avenue, this opportunity, and letting them even know about it.
Yeah, definitely, because a lot of the children are also, you know, immigrants, so they feel like they don't have pathways to college education, but there is a lot of ways that mm-hmm. we can help them with scholarships and financially.
And this program is something that is a partnership between Extension and our education system out there, our schools out there and everything, yeah. right?
Yes, mm. that is correct.
So when it comes to that, you've got the full power of Extension and this and all that knowledge going mm-hmm. into a program like this. That is pretty cool. That is a really powerful program right there.
One of the things that we found in starting the work was that it really brought awareness to teachers mm-hmm. in Marshfield School District. Because they are so busy serving so many students, especially in middle school and high school, right? They don't just have a class of 24. They've got all sorts of kids that are coming through. And really opening the teacher's eyes and the administrative support staff eyes to what the challenges are. And one of the most important challenges, I think, for all of us to be aware of is if parents don't speak the dominant language of the school, mm-hmm. the children, it's almost like they have to live in two different worlds. Mm-hmm. They have the school world where parents don't feel comfortable or don't feel welcome, and then the home world. And so in working with the school district, trying to help them understand how they can make the schools a more welcoming place for the families mm-hmm. to make sure that, you know, the whole child feels supported, both in home and at school, that, you know, school really should be a place that the entire family is welcome. When you have English speaking parents and they've, mm-hmm. you know, see bad grades something, you know, it's easy to send off an email or to call the teacher and say, tell me more, what can I do? Conferences or personal mm-hmm. connections. It's much more difficult for families with a language barrier to do that. And it can be so intimidating for mm-hmm. those parents to walk into a school and say, hey, yeah. I need to talk to somebody, whether it's a counselor for emotional needs, mm-hmm. whether it's specific teachers with classroom needs. So that's one of the things that I'm really proud of, was changes that have been made up there in Marshfield mm-hmm. because that awareness has begun. Mm-hmm. And so that's just a part of that, mm-hmm. that first program that Olga mentioned, is let's do a program to get parents to walk into the school, to mm-hmm. know that they are invited into the school to get things going. Yeah. So
if it's something that enhances and makes things stronger for our kids and our families, it's something that affects all of mm-hmm. facets. You know, these are kids that are going to grow up and become mm-hmm. and contribute to society, be taxpayers and all of that. Their parents understanding the school system a little bit better. When their kids mm-hmm. are out of school and there's an amendment up on their ballot or something, and understanding and caring about that more. There's so many layers to mm-hmm. something like this, things that we can, and maybe not even thinking about when it comes to it. And when it comes to that, there's another side of this, too, that I just wanted to touch on, and certainly not necessarily what the purpose of the program or the need of the program. But for those that haven't been paying attention, there's no language bigger in the world than Spanish. Mm-hmm. It's the most popular language by far and away in the whole world. Mm-hmm. The idea of more kids that don't know Spanish understanding a little more Spanish is not only great for this situation and that, but it could be great for them for the rest of their lives. The language is only getting bigger and bigger and becoming more and more a part of not only our culture, but culture around the world. Mm-hmm. You want your kids to be a little bit more together with that and understand that language a little bit more, and for them not to have a barrier either with what we're talking mm-hmm. about. So that can only enhance this as well. Both parties, both people really benefit from something like this. And not for nothing, Spanish is a beautiful language. It's a really pretty language, everybody. It's a really good one to learn.
So schools are really different across, not only across the state of Wisconsin, but across the world. So like understanding how the school system works here and what graduation requirements are and why graduation matters, super important. So that's mm-hmm. exactly what Juntos is all about. But my niece and nephew go to school down in southeastern Wisconsin, and they're starting Spanish in first grade, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, what an amazing piece. And that's one of the things that I would love to start here locally, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think, wow, for student, one of the issues that a lot of our students have had is loneliness, isolation. So in their classrooms, really feeling disconnected from their peers. So how mm-hmm. cool would it be if our young people started learning another language when they were much younger, when the brain is much more adept mm-hmm. at, you know, pulling in a second or even a third language. I think that would be an amazing change. This is my dream world. So,
And you're not living there alone. I'm with you. I'm with you on that. You know, we also talk, especially this time of year in an election year and everything, we do a lot of interviews and a lot of conversations with our candidates and representatives. And one of the things I ask each one of them and I talk to them about is poll after poll and study after study is showing that we are done with the divisiveness of our country. We want to come together more. Mm-hmm. We want to be brought together more. Something that we've talked about in 4-H, we've talked about with other members of Extension, you know, there's different things that bring us together. Education, knowledge, food brings us together, and language. Mm-hmm. Language brings us together. And it has a greater opportunity than any of these things also to separate us. Mm-hmm. The more we have of the classes like this or programs like this, the more we are together, the more we get to know each other better and understand that we have more in common than not, and brings us together a little bit more, gets us closer and closer to that unified thing that us and the rest of the country really wants.
Yeah.
That part is an awful nice side benefit of something definitely. Like this as well.
I appreciate it.
And Olga, when it comes to this program, is there anything we haven't touched on? Is there anything else about it that you wanted to make sure that the audience knows about this great program?
Well, we are trying to expand it also to like Nakusa schools and Wisconsin Rapids. So hopefully pretty soon by January we can expand.
I'm used to Laura and I having chemistry, but we haven't worked together in a while. Yeah, that is where I wanted to go with this because I heard you mention that you're doing this in Marshfield. Mm-hmm. I know we got a lot of local schools here that could definitely use something like that. So you are open to doing this in other schools?
Yes, we already started conversations. So
excellent.
Hopefully we can get our feet in there soon.
Here's hoping and pulling for it, because not only could it benefit our community and our kids, but I like the idea of seeing you more. You have you in studio more and everything. That'd be great.
Yes. Thank you.
And we're speaking with Laura and Olga from UW Extension's 4-H program. And Laura, this program, UNTOS, is a wonderful program. And it feels like a real, I keep using the word extension, I can't help it, but extension of what you guys do at 4-H. It really goes hand in hand with the work.
Yeah, so 4-H is really all about developing whole people, you know, young people into the best whole person that they can possibly be. We talk a lot about life skill development, and those life skills, we often think about the very specific hard skills like how to carve wood or, you know, how to decorate a cake, but that's really not the piece that we're working on. We're using those as pathways for young people to learn problem solving and communication and empathy and just like all of those soft skills, if you will. Because really what we are concerned about is that the young people of today grow into the adults of tomorrow that have all of the skills that they need to really be fantastic, happy, contributing members of our societies, right? And so we are working with everybody from five-year-old kindergarten through a year past their high school graduation. We have all sorts of different programs that we run. Some are happening at the club level. Some are happening in schools. Some are happening at the county level. You know, it's all over the place. And we often do target special groups that might not have easy access to our club program. That said, we do have a thriving club program. And here in Southwood County, we have two really strong clubs, the Wittenberg Workers in Nakusa and Snyder 4-H Club here in Wisconsin Rapids. And fall is enrollment season. So if you have young people that you would like to see just kind of explore their own interests, discover new interests, and, you know, work with caring adults, build friendships with peers, you know, that whole age range.
Mm-hmm.
Look into 4-H. I would love to talk with you more about how your family could find a fit in 4-H. It was a fantastic fit for my family. I volunteered myself into a new career, right? This is not a program that I came through as a child, but it absolutely was a program that I wanted my children involved in. And it has paid dividends. I look at my children now and I contribute a lot of their skills, their abilities, their strength. The pride that I have in them are things that they developed through their 4-H experiences. So I know I work for the program. I'm getting paid for this, but I really, from a personal, you know, parent voice that is from where I speak right now. I recommend it for everybody. And I also want to say that we talk about special groups. So youth with special needs, whether they're physical, cognitive, development, they are welcome in 4-H, and we have programs for them. We have programs for the kids that are incredibly shy all the way up to those who are, you know, explosively social. And like everything in between. So homeschool families, public school families, parochial school families, right? Everybody
all
is welcome
above.
Here.
Yeah.
So.
And these programs, these things that are involved, you get your kid involved in these in 4-H, and you just never know what spark might be created from it. Appreciate the time so very much, and deeply appreciate all the work you guys are putting into our youth, into our communities. Keep up the great work. Thank you so much for joining us today. Olga, if people want to know more about the program or talk with you about it at all, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so I can share my email. It's olga.mezca, M-E-Z-A, at wisc.edu.
And Laura, how about for you?
So my email address is laura.huber@wisc.edu. And I would also invite everybody to follow us on our Facebook page. That's one of the places where we have a lot of our upcoming reminders of the programs that are coming on and everything like that. And it is Wood County 4-H, WI.
Yeah. 4-H.extension.wisc.edu is the other email you can go to. But if you type into your search bar Wood County 4-H or Wisconsin 4-H or Extension 4-H, any of the above, you will find it. Encourage you to follow them on social media as well, as Laura was saying. Thank you both again so much for the time. Appreciate you.
Fantastic. Thanks, James.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. WFHR, we are locally grown radio.